Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Time for us to get into our last segment, and we have the blessing of Pastor Momongo, who's going to be helping us with our chew on that segment. Since we're not able to do it at 30 minutes after one, we are blessed to have him. We can do it now. Pastor Passmore Munga, good afternoon to you. Welcome, and thank you very much for agreeing to chew on chapter 39 with us.
Thank you very much, Brother Nair. And how is the afternoon over there?
So far, it's all right. Mfundisi, we are not complaining. We're even blessed that you're here to join us. How is your afternoon so far?
It is great. Waiting for the Sabbath of the Lord. We are excited.
Indeed.
After 6 days of work, we can have some rest.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Mfundisi, shall we jump into our chapter 39?
Exactly.
Lovely. All right, we're doing chapter 39 of the book of Exodus. It's a bit of a long chapter, but we'll try and go through it. I'm reading it from the NIV, and then we'll try and get as much in the last time than in the time that we have. It reads as follows: from the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, they made woven garments for ministering in this sanctuary. They also made sacred garments for Aaron, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and a finely twisted linen. They hammered out thin sheets of gold and cut strands to be worked into the blue, purple, and scarlet yarn and fine linen, the work of skilled hands. They made shoulder pieces for the ephod, which were attached to two of its corners so it could be fastened. Its skillfully woven waistband was like it, of one piece with the ephod, and made with gold and with blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and with finely twisted linen, as the Lord commanded Moses. And so they mounted the onyx stones in gold filigree settings and engraved them like a seal with the names of the sons of Israel. Then they fastened them on the shoulder pieces of the ephod as memorial stones for the sons of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses. They fashioned the breastpiece, the work of a skilled craftsman. They made it like the ephod of gold and of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and a finely twisted linen. It was square, a span long and a span wide, and folded double. Then they mounted four rows of spacious stones, precious stones rather, on it. The first row was carnelian, chrysolite, and beryl. The second row was turquoise, lapis lazuli, and emerald. The third row was jacinth, agate, and amethyst. The fourth row was topaz, onyx, and jasper. They were mounted in gold filigree settings. There were 12 stones, one for each of the names of the sons of Israel, each engraved like a seal with the name of one of the 12 tribes. For the breastpiece, they made braided chains of pure gold like a rope. They made two gold filigree settings and two gold rings, and fastened the rings to two of the corners of the breastpiece. They fastened the two gold chains to the rings of the corners of the breastpiece, and the other ends of the chains to the two settings, attaching them to the shoulder pieces of the ephod at the front. They made two gold rings and attached them to the other two corners of the breastpiece on the inside edge next to the ephod. Then they made two more gold rings and attached them to the bottom of the shoulder pieces on the front of the ephod, close to the seam just above the waistband of the ephod. They tied the rings of the breastpiece to the rings of the ephod with a blue cord, connecting it to the waistband so that the breastpiece would not swing out from the ephod, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the robe of the ephod entirely of... They made the robe of the ephod entirely of blue cloth, the work of a weaver, with an opening in the center of the robe like the opening of a collar, and a band around this opening so that it would not tear. They made pomegranates of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, and finely twisted linen around the hem of the robe. And they made bells of pure gold and attached them around the hem between the pomegranates. The bells and pomegranates alternated around the hem of the robe to be worn for ministering, as the Lord commanded Moses. For Aaron and his sons, they made tunics of fine linen, the work of a weaver, and the turban of fine linen, the linen caps, and the undergarments of the finely twisted linen. The sash was made of finely twisted linen and blue, purple, and scarlet yarn, the work of an embroiderer, as the Lord commanded Moses. They made the plate, the sacred emblem, out of pure gold and engraved on it like an inscription on a seal, "Holy to the Lord." Then they fastened a blue cord to it to attach it to the turban, as the Lord commanded Moses. So all the work on the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, was completed. The Israelites did everything just as the Lord commanded Moses. Then they brought the tabernacle to Moses, the tent and all its furnishings, its clasps, frames, crossbars, posts, and bases, the covering of the ram skins dyed red, and the covering of another durable leather, and the shield curtain. The shielding curtain, the Ark of the Covenant Law with its poles and the atonement cover, the table with all its articles and the bread of the presence, the pure gold lampstand and its row of lamps and all its accessories, and the olive oil for the light, the gold altar, the anointing oil, the fragrant incense, and the curtain for the entrance to the tent, the bronze altar with its bronze grating, its poles and all its utensils, the basin with its stand, the curtains of the courtyard with its posts and bases, and the curtain for the entrance to the courtyard, the ropes and tent pegs for the courtyard, all the furnishings for the tabernacle, the tent of meeting, and the woven garments worn for ministering in the sanctuary, both the sacred garments for Aaron the priest and the garments for his sons when serving as priests. The Israelites had done all the work just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Moses inspected the work and saw that they had done it just as the Lord had commanded. So Moses blessed them. May the Lord bless the reading of his word now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. All right, your comments, Mfundisi.
First and foremost, I sincerely appreciate. I've never heard someone who can read like you such a passage and without any break and no pardon to say, no, this word I've read it this way. Please, I sincerely appreciate your reading. Thank you so much. I'm sure our listeners have appreciated. So
thank you.
The comments that I find that I can make here is, in the first place, whatever God does a work, there is always a blueprint.
Right.
Whatever God is working, there's a blueprint. And yeah, we can see it there, right from verse 1, that they are doing this as the Lord commanded Moses. Again, as the Lord commanded Moses. I think that is mentioned about maybe more than 5 times or
right,
so.
Right, right.
So God always works with a blueprint. There's a point of reference that you are doing this according to this, just like we have in our prayer, may your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven. So heaven and earth are supposed to correspond. The other thing that we find here, the larger part talks about the garments of Aaron, the high priest, and also his sons. Any work that God does has got two things that will always be there, or two characteristics. There's beauty and glory. God's work cannot be separate. Those two things cannot be separated with God's work. Beauty right. and glory.
Right.
You get a bird from the bush, you look at it, beauty and glory. Get an animal. Anything that God does has got those two, beauty and glory. And how I wish that even us as human beings, we can do the same. When we are building our churches, we can say we are building this church for beauty and glory. Whoever looks at it says, no. The people behind this must have been God's hand working on it.
Mm.
The other thing that we find also is that that effort that the priest, especially the high priest wore, had the names of the sons of Israel.
Right.
The priests were from the tribe of Levi. But now they've got the names, the 12 names of the sons of Israel.
Right.
So when they went to present before the Lord, they were presenting everyone there, which should be the same also with us, that when you are ministering, you are not ministering from a selfish point of view.
Right.
God wants to save all human beings. So even us, we need to do the same.
Right.
So as the priests went there, although they were from one tribe, those stones were to remind and to assure everyone that they were included in their prayers. Then, looking at the materials that we find there, there was gold, there is silver, there is bronze. Those minerals, those metals, have got a different quality and value.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at gold, very high value. Silver, the value goes a bit down. Then you have got bronze. Again, the value goes down. But in terms of endurance, it is very strong.
Mm.
So even when we look at the altars that were being made using this, there was a gold altar and a bronze altar. When it was that incense, that altar where the prayers were to be put, the incense was to be put, it was the altar was made of gold.
Mm.
But when it was in the outer chamber, the altar there was made of bronze, that is copper.
Right.
Why? Because it was exposed to fire. So because of that exposure where the offerings were being burnt from, it was made of a different material.
Right.
So even when today we talk about engineering, I'm a mechanic by profession.
Right.
And we used to learn on the, when you look at a car, the engine, this material, the block is made of cast iron, the other one is made of aluminium, depending on the heat or the work that is supposed to be. And this is what we find here, that it is perfect in terms of engineering design. It is perfect in terms of the beauty. And also very interesting there where it talks about the rows of the stones. It was 4x3. You have got four rows.
Right.
And each row has got three. And you have different three stones there. And these stones have got different colors. I wonder, the first time I read this, I just burst into laughter because I couldn't have an idea of what this could look like until I saw a picture of some people who are very imaginative. They draw it, how these stones were, the four rows, and each row has got three, and they are different colors.
Right.
How our lives could be beautiful if we were to add this in our lives. And even when you look at people, just drop me in Johannesburg, you see the same thing. You have people who are short, light in complexion, people who are this, people who are that, how God decorates everything.
Right.
Imagine if it was just one color, it would have been boring for sure. But God doesn't want that.
Okay.
Yeah, it could have been boring.
Yeah.
When we were studying in Europe, I used to tell my friends that these people are fortunate that as Africans we are here because we are the flowers here.
Right.
We are decorating the place.
Right.
So we see the same thing here. The sons of Israel, it is repeated.
Mm-hmm.
Then the garments we are told that they were bales at the hem, at the bottom there were bales. And it is very important for us to note that before a high priest went to minister inside, he had to confess his sins.
Right.
And especially on the Day of Atonement, when he just went there once, if there was a sin that he did not commit, he would die in the presence of the Lord.
Right.
So as the bells were ringing inside, the people outside, the worshippers were assured that the priest is in good standing with God.
Mm-hmm.
If the bells went quiet, then they would know that there would be trouble somewhere. I must also mention that the garments were also a lesson. He sent a lesson to the priests and also to the people that these people are doing a sacred work.
Right.
These people are doing a sacred work because these garments, the high priest had his own garments and these other priests had their own garments. So they separated them from the people. That when someone saw this person coming, he knew that this person is ministering
right
in the congregation. And I just look at how I would just imagine someone putting on this garment and then you start walking. You can't start running when you are wearing such.
Right.
Or even hugging people around and shaking this and that. No. It was a reminder, like it says there in verse 30, holiness to the Lord. That was written on the crown. Holiness to the Lord, meaning this person has been sanctified.
Mm.
Is sanctified, set apart for holy use. And that was very important for us. The other thing that we can mention there, I almost said we start with the last two verses. According to all that the Lord had commanded Moses, so the children of Israel did all the work. Then Moses looked over the work, and indeed they had done it. As the Lord had commanded, just as they had done it, Moses blessed them.
Right.
So we see that there was monitoring, there was evaluation, there was assessment. And this is how every project is done.
Yeah.
It has to be evaluated. It has to be monitored. And at the end of the day, the work had to be done the way God had put it.
Yes.
I like how specific the rings, the sockets, the tables, everything specified. And if this one is made of this, this one is made of this kind of skin,
right,
this animal, that animal, and these people do it just the way it was done.
So
one other thing. Yes, oh, okay. Yes, thank you.
No, oh, go ahead. One other thing, and then I'll come into because I'm worried we're going to run out of time. Go ahead, Mfunis.
Ah, thank you. Oh, okay. Just a quick one. The thing that I wanted to mention, that there was no shortage for material.
Right.
There was no shortage to say, no, let the people wait here. You want one piece of this badger skin is not there. Let's go around. No. From the beginning, actually, the other chapters, they tell us that what they had was more than what they need.
Absolutely.
Which should be the same thing where we can learn a lesson also
right
today. That when it comes to do God's work, let's avail.
Yeah.
Whatever God tells us to do,
yeah,
he has blessed with the materials already.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
All right. Let's jump in, Funes. I want us to talk first about the ephod. This ephod was meant for the priests, isn't it?
Yes.
Was it meant for the priests only?
Of course, there was one which was put on by Aaron, the high priest, because there was the...
I understand.
The high,
I'm just referring to the issue of the Levites, because the impression we're getting from these chapters in the book of Exodus is that the ephod was exclusively meant for the Levitical use, whether it's the priests or the high priest Aaron himself, but it was only priestly to be worn. No one else who is not a priest was to wear it, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Tell me then, come with me to the book of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 14.
2 Samuel chapter 6.
Verse 14.
Yeah.
The narrative is very clear there, and I'm reading it from the King James Version. It says, "And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod." What was David doing with a linen ephod? He is not a Levite.
Exactly. And you remember, this is the same David who went to the temple and said, "Give me that bread."
Yes.
Yes. He was not a priest. He was not what? But he went into the temple and said, "I need that now." And he was given to it.
Well, he
and
didn't demand as far as the bread, he didn't demand it. He was just hungry. He and his men were hungry. And the priest that was there told him, "The only thing that we have is the priestly bread." And he said, "Yeah, sure. Give it to me." We have the priest said, "No, it's meant for men who have not slept with their wives. Have your men slept with their wives?" David said, "Nah, my men never sleep with their wives when they're about to go to war. Psst, yeah, right. But still, the question that I still stands is, it goes against the instructions of God to Moses. What was David doing with an ephod if the chapter 39 strictly instructs that to be for priestly use alone? Is it possible that perhaps we're missing something about the interpretation of the ephod? Maybe it's not only meant for priests alone.
Yeah, because what I can see here, there's an adjective there that he was wearing, a linen ephod. And I'm trying to look at them, except the other ones in chapter 39 there, just written in general, the ephod.
Right.
But I've not... for sure, strictly looked at that, whether there was a difference, there was this effort that was put here,
right,
and an effort that could be put by
David,
by anyone else. Yes.
I want you to come with me to First Chronicles as well, because this thing is further expounded on, which exacerbates my point. First Chronicles chapter 15. First Chronicles chapter 15, verse 27. It reads, "Now David was clothed in a robe of linen, fine linen, as were all the Levites." Are you seeing that? "As were all the Levites who were carrying the ark. And as were the musicians."
Which verse is that?
First Chronicles chapter 15, verse 27.
Okay.
It reads, "Now David was clothed in a robe of fine linen, as were all the Levites who were carrying the ark, and as were the musicians, and the Kenaniah who was in charge of the singing of the choirs. David also wore a linen ephod." Again, I'm asking, here it makes it clear that what David was wearing was the same thing that the Levites were wearing. What was David doing with a Levitical garment?
Let me see. For sure, like I said, I have not strictly looked at it, but I can see for sure that David was from the tribe of Judah.
Absolutely.
And the Levites were appointed to do that work.
Absolutely. So when we read the second verse of our chapter for today, it says, "They made the ephod of gold and of blue, purple and scarlet yarn, and of finely twisted linen." So the material is the same material that David was fiddling with. Now my question is it possible that the ephod was not exclusively for priests? For we now know that David too was not a priest, was not even a Levite, but he too was wearing that priestly garment. Is it possible that when we read chapter 39, we are mistaken to conclude that this was exclusively for priests?
Yeah, except we may not generalize it right away, because the only reference we find outside the Levitical family to wear an ephod and the other garments is only David.
Absolutely.
Maybe if we had another reference for another, maybe two or so people from other tribes, maybe would say, maybe this was just, we could be put on by anyone. But now we just found that apart from the Levitical family, we just found only David putting on whatever the Levites were putting on.
So is there a need, perhaps, Pastor, for us to find other verses? I think it's sufficient that there is a precedence which was set by David himself. That's what I'm trying to establish. Unless you're saying one deviation is not enough to create a precedence.
No, for sure, that one we can rightly say for sure, like even if it's when legal terms, that it can make, that deviation can make a precedence.
Absolutely.
It can make a reference point to talk to the layperson, that we can have a reference that, but someone who was not a Levite put on this, and the Lord did not condemn him for that.
Right.
Because God did not condemn him for for that. Except we don't find another person doing so. But the precedence, for sure, like you are right to say, it is there that someone outside the Levitical family could put on the same thing that they were putting on, and God did not condemn.
Right. Let's talk about the jewelry that we're talking about here, Mfundis. I'm amazed by the amount of gold and precious stones used. Even the very apron that is meant to be an apron, it's used. Yes. It's made of gold. This ephod has got gold woven into it. It says they made the ephod of gold, and then they add blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. So the linen is overlaid and interwoven with gold. So much jewelry, though. I'm not quite sure I understand the significance of a priest wearing so much jewelry. In today's time, if we were to see a minister of the gospel wearing so much jewelry, would think he's a pimp.
Well, we got to protest.
Yes. Yes. I don't think in an Adventist pulpit would let that man go up the pulpit wearing so much jewelry, so much gold and precious stones. So tell me, Mfundis, what relationship is there between God and people who are ministering before him wearing so much jewelry? It seems as though there is a misunderstanding here. It appears God insists that people who are going to minister before him must be so well adorned. My goodness, overly adorned, if you ask me.
You are talking about 12 kinds of
12, exactly, precious, exactly, meat. Yes, and these are put on something that has already been embroidered with gold, and the ephod is made of gold, and the apron and the onyx is, my goodness, is it possible that God wants people to look gorgeous or overly gorgeous when they minister before him?
No, but what we can see, like we said right from the beginning, you hear the Bible, especially when it talks about the making of the garments.
Right.
That the garments were for beauty and for glory. Glory is something that amazes you. Mm-hmm. That makes you to wonder. For beauty and for glory.
Right.
So that one is the, of course, like today we wouldn't say that we wear things of many colors, but of course we have to be smartly dressed. That we are doing God's work, and when you stand to do that work, it's good that these priests and Levites were not preaching, because if someone dressed like that stands to preach, you may not get what they are saying. You just become,
well,
how many meters,
Ezra and many Nehemiah, Ezra and Nehemiah would stand up and read the word, and people were not bedazzled.
Except they were not wearing those.
Well, I don't know if we can say the word not. Does it say they were not wearing it? Because they would stand at the sanctuary and read. So what would they be doing at the sanctuary? Because people who would be ministering at the sanctuary are people who are appropriately dressed. Why would we say they are not wearing the clothes of people who are serving at the sanctuary?
And actually, I'm just looking at some quick notes there.
Right.
Actually, that the breastplate that had all those precious stones were just for the high priest.
Yeah.
Like I read Exodus 28 verse 2 there, and you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty.
Right.
The other priests were just wearing a belt, and their robes was a white linen robe, and also...
No. Their robes, Mfundis, were not just white linen robes. They were also made of blue, purple, and scarlet yarn. That colorfulness was there. Their bands on were made of gold. On their shoulders, that too, there was gold. So not only was it just white linen, the linen was the undergarment, wasn't it?
No, I was referring to the breastplate. When we are talking about those stones, the rows and everything.
Granted, no, I understand.
That's the reference which I was making, yes.
I understand.
But
I understand.
Like you say, for sure, their apron had all these metals. And
absolutely,
precious metals and everywhere. When you look at the priest, you say, wow.
Right, right. No, I totally agree with you, Mfunis. The breast piece was that had that the 12 stones was only for the high priest. But my question still stands, Mfunis. God wanted the man who's going to be ministering to before him to be so adorned. My question is, why do we find it uncomfortable to see a man who is ministering before God adorned on our pulpits today?
Are you saying to be adorned in the same way these were adorned?
Absolutely, Mfundisi. Absolutely. Why do we want our pastors to just a black suit and a white and a black tie, a white shirt? That's it. Nothing else. Dare you even wear a wedding ring? Will look at you with a suspicious eye.
Well, of course, when we talk about the clothes have maybe to do with the culture also. The people who brought the religion for us,
they were
wearing this. If you are in West Africa, you would not wear a suit.
Absolutely.
Because of the Muslim culture there, you find you wear those things, not even a suit. So,
absolutely.
So when it comes to clothes, also they have to take care of the culture. This is how it was introduced.
So is
to
it
us.
Possible that if the do, is it possible that the our prophetess may have been mistaken to insist that those who are ministering before God must be clothed in black suits and white shirts and a black tie? Is it possible that perhaps the prophetess may have been mistaken?
No, actually, it's not the prophetess who said people should wear exactly wear like this, but the emphasis there was something that is decent, something that is acceptable.
Oh.
Because if you came today and you put on that suit for with those colors,
right,
you are sure that is the only one person who will get the verse that you are going to read.
Yes.
And then the whole thing of standing in front will be defeated,
right,
just because of the way you appear.
All right.
So I think that matters also.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi. My time is up. I have to end it right there. Thank you very much for your time and your insights, Mfundisi. Have a wonderful day and Godspeed.
You are most welcome, and our listeners, God bless you.
Thank you very much, Mfundisi.
You are tuned into Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.